Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome our special guest, State Representative Joe Shikarchi, a Warwick Democrat. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you, Ian and Scott and Maureen. I look forward to being here, and I appreciate the invitation.
For the second year in a row, the performance of public school students on a leading standardized test has remained static. State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist calls the results disappointing. Maureen, what do you think it'll take to bring about some more significant improvements by student performance in Rhode Island?
I think we have to keep on keeping on. I think we're making progress. I think there's been enormous signs on a number of levels that Commissioner Gist has assumed responsibility for this, but things are getting better. We're not sliding backwards. There's associations. The teachers seem to be getting on board in Providence with the superintendent. So I think this is a huge problem, and I think we're making progress, and I'm not disappointed at all.
Representative Shikarchi, we know there's a close link between student performance and economic issues in the state. Do you think the state is bringing enough urgency to this issue?
I do, but I think, as Maureen said, we can do better. We can keep the pressure on. The parties need to work together. Unfortunately, when we talk about education, it always boils down to education funding. And when we get down to education funding, you have the people who are for charter schools, you have the people who are against charter schools, you have the people who are for education. We need as a state to make sure that the dollars that we're putting in our education are the dollars coming out. We're getting a good product for it.
Scott, you like to bring attention to the link between poverty and student performance. What will it take to break that connection?
Nobody has done it, and that's our problem. It's been the problem forever. If you look inside these test results, as our fabulous education reporter Elizabeth Harrison pointed out to me yesterday, they almost track the socioeconomic background of the parents with the student outcomes. And, you know, Massachusetts and Connecticut, our neighbors, our competitors for economic opportunity, are both spending more per pupil than Rhode Island is. And they're making the investments in education that Rhode Island has fallen behind on in recent years. And I think this is not a good thing to happen. These test results are disappointing, and people have to understand we're not where we should be.
But I hope you're saying that while it's more difficult to educate poorer children, we need to make the effort. I mean, we have to put the resources into it. It may be the fact that it's harder to move them along, but we have the responsibility to make this a success.
Well, we do, but here's the problem. Nobody's devised a plan to do that.
Well, I mean, I think we're getting in the right direction.
A bill that would expand the use of binding arbitration in teacher contracts is being debated at the State House again. Supporters say it would lead to better union management relations, but opponents say the bill would drive up costs for cities and towns. Representative Shikarchi, I believe you were a lobbyist for a police union before becoming a state lawmaker. Where do you stand on binding arbitration?
I do not support the binding arbitration in its current form that I've seen before the General Assembly. Binding arbitration should be of last resort. If you look at historically, the unions and the teacher unions and the unions who are supporting binding arbitration for teachers now were the ones who opposed it 10, 20 years ago, and they were afraid of it. Now they want it. And the reason that the public sector teacher unions want binding arbitration, they don't feel they're being treated fairly at the bargaining table, and they want to get to an arbitrator as quickly as possible. I think the problem is in the pre-arbitration process. I think the biggest problem we have is that when a contract expires, management now, the current trend is to unilaterally impose changes. And that's why the unions want binding arbitration. And that's sadly for cities and towns, they're opposed to it because the teachers are better at binding arbitration. And they win the majority of the cases. So there's somewhere in the middle, and I'm actually working on a possible compromise to the current form of binding arbitration.
Scott, in 2011, the Senate passed binding arbitration, but the House let the measure die. Do you see it? What do you see happening this year?
Well, you don't know what's going to happen because these bills become hostage. Things go back and forth between the House and Senate. I think you can structure binding arbitration so that it can work. I think rather than a typical arbitration case, you might say we're going to have retired judges do it, and you're going to have to put in there somewhere in the law that the economic status of the community has to be regarded by the arbitrator. Now, this might lead to some different results in, say, a Central Falls or West Warwick versus a Barrington or an East Greenwich. But the fact is that different communities Everybody doesn't have the same funding base. We all know that. The other thing is, if cops and firefighters have binding arbitration, why don't teachers? Is it just the male-dominated unions that have this? Or union with women?
Teachers do have it, but this bill would expand the use of it.
To answer, Scott, your question is, it's public safety. It's a little bit different. You can't have your police department go out on strike in the city of Warwick or the city of Providence. We need someone to protect the city, and that's why we have binding arbitration. It's different than teachers.
Well, teacher strikes are illegal in Rhode Island.
That's correct.
Maureen, Dan Beardsley, the head of the Rhode Island League of Cities and Towns, said in testifying on this legislation this week that conflicts and impasse are the nature of negotiations in teacher contracts. What do you say?
Well, I think Dan Beardsley pointed out the fact that this had always been like a stealth policy for the unions, and that's no longer the case. I mean, there's a lot of visibility to this. And the overall problem in terms of recrafting one that works is that currently, as I see it, what it does is it doesn't push the teachers to negotiate. They can stay with the status quo. And staying with the status quo at a time when you're experiencing cutbacks and different kinds of things creates a problem. So we need a different formula.
We're going to move on with some questions for our special guest, Representative Joe Shikarchi. Joe, you managed State Treasurer Gina Raimondo's campaign for treasurer in 2010. Raimondo is expected to be a gubernatorial candidate in 2014. Some people question whether she might run into the same difficulty that Frank Caprio had in winning support among rank-and-file Democrats if she runs. What do you say?
I say Gina will be a formidable candidate. Whatever she runs for, if she runs in a gubernatorial primary as a Democrat, she'll be formidable. Anybody who underestimates her ability is making a grave mistake, political mistake. She's very tough. You don't know, but she's a very tough rugby player, and she takes no prisoners.
Any chance that she'll switch parties from where you sit?
From what I said, I don't see that. That's Gina's decision, Gina's call. But I think that she's been a Democrat all her life, and whatever she decides would be in the best interest of the people of Rhode Island.
Let's go to Scott.
Joe, how do we leverage the airport to get more business in Warwick? What are some of the things that are happening and should happen in the future?
The infrastructure is there. The plans have been approved. The expansion is good. What we really need to make the airport work is we need Amtrak to stop in the station district in Warwick. If we can get Amtrak to stop, you will get Ryanair from Ireland to come here. You'll get other international carriers to come to Green because the train systems will link to Boston and New York. We don't have that, and that's a big stumbling block to international expansion to Green.
Let's go to Maureen.
A related question, far afield a bit in terms of transportation. We have this problem about fees on the bridges, and now the Senate President, Teresa Pivoweed, has come up with a proposal that we tax everyone to sort of subsidize, for example, the Taconic Bridge. What do you think about taking that approach towards towards tolls and roads?
I respectfully disagree. The people of Rhode Island pay enough in car taxes, in real estate taxes, in gasoline taxes. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think the people who use the Newport Bridge on a daily basis should pay a toll for the Newport Bridge, and they should pay for the Monhope Bridge and whatever. They already receive a tremendous amount of public subsidy, and we don't need to add more.
President Obama highlighted the middle class and climate change, among other issues, in his State of the Union address this week. Scott, do you see anything tangible coming out of this?
Hopefully there will be. I mean, he put out some very specific programs. I think on immigration you're going to see some movement. I think maybe even on the minimum wage. We'll see.
What do you say, Joe?
I hope so. I don't think so. I think it's more of a show. The State of the Union speech is more of a where you want to go. It's not where you're going to be. And let's not forget, he still has a very conservative House to deal with.
What do you say, Maureen?
I kind of agree with Joe, because if you look at Boehner's body language and his response, it didn't look like he was in the mood for consensus. And I think, and even when the Republicans start talking about not doing anything about immigration reform, and the pushback for Hagel's nomination suggests to me that this is going to be a tough deal.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott?
I'm glad nobody could see me reach for my Poland Spring water.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And State Representative Joseph Shikarchi, Warwick Democrat.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.